It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Back to pass. Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat. Racing to the end zone. The Cook has found the kitchen. Handoff goes to Cook and he sails into the end zone for his second touchdown of the game. Handoff goes to Cook and a work through the middle, through a hole and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, flips into the end zone for the touchdown. His third touchdown of the game. Steps up in the pocket, throws, has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown. Complete to Shakir, races away from the defender, 10, 5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy November 1st. This is a day. This is something. What's November 1st?
It's no longer October.
Right, but it's like, it's a day. It's
gotta, it is?
Yeah, it's something.
It is
All Saints Day. That's what I was looking for.
All Saints Day?
Yes, yes. That's what I was looking for. Yep. The day after Halloween. Whatever. I don't want to get too, it's before 7 a.m. I don't want to get too deep into. I feel like this is a day.
It's wind day.
It's windy. That is very true.
53 mile per hour gusts right now at the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, the wind woke me up, and it was one of those look for the garbage cans and see if they've blown down the street and all that. So it's, it is gusty out there. It will be through the morning, but kind of tapering off. So I'm like looking at the wind conditions if you're heading into work or whatever you're doing. It's still going to gust up to 30 by noon. So slowly coming down, but it got pretty intense.
Yeah.
Last night.
The Halloween decorations were down, I think, for many this morning.
That's tough. Yeah. The actual Halloween trick-or-treating window was about perfect, though.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable. We sat out in the bottom of the driveway with the fire table, and it was like, I couldn't believe how nice it was out and how warm it was out.
High of, what?
Set the record, I think.
It got up above 70-40.
76, I think
76.
I saw.
76.
I think I saw Pat Hammer tweeting out that that was a record for Halloween.
Beautiful.
In Buffalo, for how warm it was yesterday.
Excellent. Love it. Love Halloween.
And today we get 90 mile per hour winds.
Thank goodness the Bills game's not right now. Forecast for Sunday looks good. Kickoff temperature about 50. That's good.
Yep.
Wind, non-factor.
Good.
Rain, not going to happen.
Good.
Good fall day at the stadium coming up. It's Football Friday. So good morning, Football Friday, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Jeremy and Joe with you, Josh producing. Maybe you watched last night. Maybe you didn't because of trick-or-treating. I mean, it wouldn't exactly have crossed over, but...
Yeah, like trick-or-treating would have ended probably about a half hour before the game for us.
But by then it's, wrapping things up.
Yeah,
going through the candy, deciding what's mine. I'll take that. I'll take that. Oh, you wouldn't like this. Yoink. Take that.
Yeah.
Some candies I'd never even heard of before.
Like?
Introduced. I don't even know the name of them. Like one of them just being introduced. All right, what's this? I'll try this.
Like a chocolate candy?
Like a chocolate Trader Joe's something.
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
That probably was pretty good.
It was very good. Got some Nerds gummy clusters in there.
I realized then the candy mix that we had, that the Caramello bar was introduced into the mix, which I hadn't seen much of before, and that should be a part of every mix going forward because it is amazing.
I had the same thought on the other end of the spectrum. So we had a lot of candy talk yesterday.
Yeah.
You're saying, how could we forget Caramello?
I
picked up a bar and thought, the fact that this bar never came up is a mark against it. It was a Baby Ruth.
We had Baby Ruths in the...
Not one person yesterday said the words Baby Ruth.
For which side, though?
That, like,
for
it's
the bad side?
It's forgettable.
It's forgettable.
It's forgettable. It's...
Well, it's really just...
It's the St. Louis Blues as an existence. It's just... Oh,
wow.
That's...
Wow. The Baby Ruth and the St. Louis Blues?
Just people forget they exist.
Yeah.
They did win a cup. They did win a cup.
I mean, the Baby Ruth in reality is just a deformed Snickers, isn't it?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just... It's the same ingredients, just with it's all mixed up, kind of.
All right, I'll try it on again. It's Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Texas Tech's fun, though, sometimes.
Sure,
right?
So is Texas A&M. So is Texas.
Yeah.
It's Texas Tech.
Yeah, no, like, I would never, I'm fine with a Baby Ruth. I would never seek out a Baby Ruth,
right,
though.
I agree with that. So anyway.
That's definitely one of the candies that makes it through the first couple of days in the Halloween bag, I think.
Yeah. I also found a bag that you would hate. So I saw your, we didn't even get to your candy rankings yesterday.
My annual candy rankings. Some movement this year.
Which included Sour Patch Kids, no watermelon.
No watermelon, yeah.
I found in one of the little pumpkin baskets a bag of Sour Patch Kids all watermelon.
Oh yeah, those are out there.
Yeah,
that's why I had to differentiate, because you have the normal Sour Patch Kids bags and then you have the watermelon Sour Patch Kids bags. I don't want the watermelon. Well, why do I want one bag of the same flavor?
The same reason that they now have Starburst all red.
But that's the all
super
red
popular.
Starbursts are very clearly the best Starburst.
You say that, but want to know something wild?
What?
My wife hates the reds.
Really?
She hates the reds and the pinks. She wants the orange and the yellow of Starburst.
I think she can have them.
Yeah,
I think
right.
Most people would take that trade.
Perfect.
Orange is not bad. Yellow, that's
orange is not bad,
but questionable
come on,
choice.
Red is king.
I know. Red and pink are the
red
king.
Red is king, and yep. Pink is a close second, for sure. But the watermelon is not number one Sour Patch Kid. The blue Sour Patch Kid is the number one Sour Patch Kid.
Is that like a blue raspberry?
Yes.
Okay.
Undoubtedly. That's the one I want all in one bag. So yeah, get the watermelon ones out of here. You can keep those. Like your runts in the banana flavor. Put those in the same bag. Watermelon, Sour Patch Kids, and banana runts. And apparently, if your wife was in charge, do the red Starburst in the same bag too.
Oh yeah. Well, watch this transition. From candy to sugar high Josh.
Mm.
No. You think Josh is on a sugar high right now? Did he eat a bunch of candy last night? I had somebody send me a picture. They had their son dressed up as Josh Allen for Halloween. And turns out
you said was a lazy costume.
No, I said going as yourself. Like if you said
just a jersey.
No, well, he was wearing a helmet and pants. I was saying, like, if you play hockey for Amherst and you go out in your Amherst jersey with your gloves, that's not Halloween. That's you on a Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
That's cheating.
You dress up as Tuesday you.
Right, going as a full Josh Allen, you know, fine. He said that people gave him way more candy because he was Josh Allen. So
really? There's
your life hack next year. Just dress up as Josh Allen and get more candy.
Mm-hmm.
Kid comes home with like three bags full, a trash bag full of candy. Hey, people like Josh Allen. It reminds me of when I went to Clemson and people told me to wear a Syracuse when I would see Syracuse at Clemson, dress up, you know, in your gear, they'll buy you stuff. And they did. And you could turn that into a business maybe. Every single week, just go to Clemson dressed in the opposing team's colors and shirt. You'll just eat for free every weekend.
What is this rule? You eat for free if you're wearing the opposing team's
people
colors?
People just buy you everything. They just bought us food and drinks and invited us.
Hospitality.
Yes.
Southern hospitality.
They're just very nice. So anyway, happy football Friday.
You would not have had a sugar rush for that game last night.
Listen, not only did the Jets win, as we kind of, did we call it? I mean, I told you I thought they were going to win that game.
I liked them and actually was on their side for the betting line because Mike Schoep's very much this way too. If the line looks like it's not going to make sense to people, that's the side I want to be on.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people were going, oh, the Jets are 2-6. The Texans are 6-2. How are the Jets favored in this game? They're favored for a reason. So that was the side I wanted to be on last night.
No,
and it absolutely came true because Houston, they should have won by more. Corley doesn't, you know, do what he did.
They should have won by more. The Jets were pretty much in control.
Yeah.
And what happened to Houston, among other things, I mean, they're down Collins and Diggs.
And Tank Dell is not playing a full load of snaps. Like, there's a lot of snaps out there yesterday where I'm watching the Texans, and they have two receivers on the field. It's Robert Woods and John Metchie. And that's not what the Texans were supposed to be at the beginning of the year at all.
There's a good question on whether or not the Texans should make a trade at receiver. I was thinking about...
Well, they're getting Collins back this week.
They're getting Collins back, but Diggs was a part of it. And can they just slot Robert Woods in there for Diggs? I don't know.
You would think that Robert Woods at this age, although, you know what's interesting? I think I saw that Woods is only 1 year older than Diggs, which is
funny.
It's kind of amazing.
That is not possible.
But but come on. Like, Robert Woods at this point in his career is a massive downgrade from Stephon Diggs. So, I thought of them as an idea for Cooper Kupp. I don't know that Kupp's getting traded now. who's left on the market is the other thing. Like, Deontay Johnson is gone.
T. Higgins is left.
Okay.
Mike Williams from the Jets is left.
Okay.
But that's not who Houston needs.
Diggs was playing mostly
slot.
In the slot. Like, so who's that? Right, who's that guy for them? Like, if I were them, I would be on the phone with the Rams every second trying to get Cooper Kupp.
But the Rams
are what? Or
basically
saying, if you're going to trade him, I am outbidding everybody else.
And the Rams are probably not going to because the Rams could, they're what, a game out of first in that division?
I think so.
Thinking about the playoffs and thinking about the trade deadline, this is the last game you get before the deadline. So anything that happens after this one, like an injury, if the Bills decide to not add at the deadline again and someone important gets hurt, well, were you supposed to see that coming? Are you just supposed to guess what position is a little bit thin for you? So I don't know what the plan will be for the Bills here. If someone gets hurt against the Dolphins, they could easily be kicked into emergency trade mode. Like, if you want to get a name here, knock on wood, like Christian Benford, you got to go get a corner. Have to. So he's too important. And they did that last year with Rasul Douglas. Anyway, back to last night's game. One thing that happened in this game, it's Jets and Texans, and Rodgers throws touchdowns on every drive of the second half. Devontae Adams gets a touchdown. He's also being evaluated for a concussion, Adams is. Mm-hmm. But Adams gets in. Garrett Wilson has a big day, and Garrett Wilson has another catch. This is actually the other way. Usually a pass is ruled incomplete, and we say, what's a catch? This one was ruled complete, and what's a catch? Because, Joe, on Sunday night, this week, Sunday, I learned that the same foot twice is not a completed catch.
Which I think is dumb.
I agree with that. Last night I learned that the same foot twice is not a completed catch, but the shin from the same foot is.
Yeah.
And I learned that the shin can be separated from the knee.
That is, okay, that's where I learned last night. Because I think I knew the shin would count. This is where I kind of lost my mind a little bit.
It was wild to watch an NFL broadcast separate the shin from the knee.
Who's the who's their guy?
The Amazon guy?
Yeah, I forget his name. But they had him trying to explain this last night. And the whole time, it was never mentioned on the broadcast, the whole time, the question, the follow-up I want is, wait a minute, you're telling me that we're separating the shin from the knee, because what happens on this play? He does tap his foot twice again, by the way.
Yep.
But that doesn't count. We know that now.
We know that doesn't count.
So then his shin lands in bounds, and then as he continues to land, the shin is in bounds, the knee falls out of bounds.
Yep.
That's in bounds.
Crazy.
That counts. When I know, and I think, really, if it were me, all of this would count. Shin, I can freeze frame a point where the shin's in bounds and the knee is not down yet. That's a touchdown because the play is over that very moment.
Sure.
But now we have an inconsistency because my problem is I've seen catches where the toe is in bounds or the toes are in bounds.
In control.
And I can freeze frame a point there where the toes are in bounds and it's a touchdown. But then when the heel follows suit and lands out of bounds.
That's out of bounds.
What?
Yeah.
Why are those two things different?
I don't know.
Someone tweeted in, I think this is probably the explanation, and like my head's about to explode, which is, that's because they consider the foot one body part, and they separate the shin and the knee, and that's the explanation, isn't it?
Yes, that the heel is part of the foot, but the shin is not part of the knee.
Right, so the it's basically the NFL does not recognize the heel as a body part.
Correct.
That's why last night's touchdown
I had the same thought. Just laughing at the NFL. Like, I can't believe they're going to call this inbounds because the shin was down before the knee was down.
Yeah. Again, I'm not even really mad it was a touchdown. It probably should have counted just because it was a sick catch.
It was a really sick catch.
It was amazing.
Garrett Wilson makes the one-handed, shades of Odell Beckham Jr. Amazing catch.
Did he make the one-handed catch he had earlier in the game? That also went for a touchdown? Did he run that in also? I think he made two one-handed catches in the same game for a touchdown.
He's good.
Yeah, I don't know. He did. He scored on the other. He had another one-handed touchdown in this game that he scored on. So I don't know if that's a record you can find. I don't think they really track that.
30 fantasy points for Garrett Wilson, 22 for Devontae Adams. It was a big day for the Jets.
Yeah.
They save their season.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean their season will ultimately be saved to get where they want to get.
No, because they still had a lot of moments where they looked they looked inept. I mean, they did have 0 points at halftime.
Their next few games, they could go on a run here. Ready? Let me give you the next five games for the Jets.
It's funny to keep in mind. They could go on a run. They also are a team capable of losing to New England.
For sure.
And almost Tennessee.
They play the Cardinals, the Colts,
okay. The
Seahawks,
okay. The
Dolphins, the Jaguars. That's okay. Your next five. If you're the Jets, you want to at worst be 4-1.
I think they have to be at least 4-1.
At worst, 4-1. I'm not sitting here really thinking about them, worried about them, but they did keep their season alive, something the Dolphins will try to do Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, even that's sixth loss. How important is that? Can they really only afford one more loss the rest of the way? Like, what's the math? We're not at playoff machine time with the New York Times. That's, by the way, when you know your season's not going well, is when you kind of need the New York Times playoff machine, and it's not even out yet.
But wouldn't you bet a team to make it at 9-8?
That's where I don't know. I don't know how likely that is. Well, it could be likely. I don't even know. Like, what last year did we get a 9-8 team? I don't remember.
I'm looking at the division right now.
The Steelers were the last seed that got in because they played the Bills.
Right. Part of what is happening, though, is a lot of teams, like the Steelers and the entire AFC North, has not played itself yet.
Right.
So those are losses that are built in for some teams. You know, it's tough. It's like hockey when you've got a 3-point game. As the Jets look at the out-of-town scoreboard as the season goes on, who do they root for in Ravens-Bengals? Who do they root for in Ravens-Steelers? They're going to constantly be watching that. But as of today, we know four playoff teams probably, right? Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. Their lead all of a sudden is kind of small in that division. But Steelers are in the lead. Okay. Bills, Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens. Maybe I'll give them both a spot. Texans. Mm-hmm. I got three more. I've got the Chargers, the Colts, and the Bengals, and the Jets are right there with those teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Colts and the Chargers being alive for a playoff spot. Like, I think 9-8 will get a spot. There will be a 9-8 team.
All right.
Maybe that wins on a tiebreaker. So maybe not every team can get in on 9-8. But the Jets are very much alive to me.
Recognizing this is a faulty way to do this because every season's different. But since they have gone to 17 games, there have been nine 9-8 AFC teams, and only two have made the playoffs.
Okay.
And one was a division winner. Jacksonville. So one wild card 9-8 team in those years. And it was the Miami team that got in to play the Bills. But again, I recognize that's not totally meaningful because every season's different. And right now, if you look at the middle of the AFC, like right now, where are the Jets? Are they one game out of a spot?
More than a half. You know what the Jets are right now?
The Chargers have the last spot at 4-3. So they're a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now.
Right. The Jets, again, they're not in a good spot. Their season has been saved to a degree. What the Jets are, and this will hit home, the Jets are the Sabres of the last 10 Februaries. Right? Like, listen.
Hey, guys, if we go
get a couple wins, we might have something to talk about.
No, not even a couple wins. It's, guys, if we go on a 5-game win streak here, we're back in the race.
They're the February Sabres of the last couple years. Anyway, 803-0550, Bills and Dolphins on the way this weekend. Beautiful weather on the way. The Sabres play tonight against the New York Islanders. Excited for that game.
Yes.
Very excited for that game.
I'll be going tonight. Glad to see a black and red game.
Yes, another black and red at home, so that's good. You're going to go to the black and red, so you'll see the presentation and what black and red looks like, and that's fun. So
hoping for a good crowd, too, on a Friday night.
The Islanders are in last place in the Metro.
Yeah.
8 points in 10 games.
Yeah.
The Sabres have 9 points in 10 games. But, you know, they're in fifth in the Atlantic. The Atlantic's softer.
Mm-hmm.
So, big one for the Sabres tonight, you know, get a couple wins this weekend.
Cousins to the wing,
and they play back-to-back because they play Saturday, too.
Yeah. I think Cousins to the wing, by the way, is
a great idea.
It's a great idea on the short term, and it also introduces a painful realization on the long term.
That they should not have traded Casey Mittelstadt. That's part of it?
Yeah.
No.
And that they are, right, they committed, they went... Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins are going to be our top two centers for 7 years, and you're not even 2 years into that, and you're already without a second line center, and that's bad. I think it's bad that you don't have that guy for the long term right now. If Cousins is going to be a winger from here on out, like yesterday, there's a report from Friedman about how Kevin Adams is the most active GM in the league looking to add. If you don't think Dylan Cousins is a centerman anymore, then that needs to be priority one until the day you get it. And also, yes, if I had a big red button right here that I could smack that would undo the Casey Mittelstadt trade, I think you'd want to do that in a heartbeat. Because he's the exact player you probably want right now.
Yeah.
To be your second line center. McLeod, maybe. Just I don't know if, how much I want to. He was doing really well in a third line center role. I don't know how much I want to count on guy whose career high is 12 goals and 30 points to just step in and play 20 minutes a night and on the power play and put up 60 points. He's been a nice story. I don't think he's going to be your second line center.
803-0550 is our phone number. All right, here's the game plan for Buffalo Bills football Friday. We'll talk with Sal. We'll get the latest on the injury report, all that. How the team's looking going into this game, relatively healthy. The Dolphins, of course, they've got a ton of injuries. They're having the season from HE double hockey sticks. Like it's a terrible year for Miami. I was listening to Sal's podcast. They had a Dolphins guest on about their season. Can they save their season? What kind of changes are coming? And the Dolphins might be stuck in a little bit of a purgatory here. And a win over the Bills might be the only thing to make them feel better about any of it. Because they've invested big. They gave big money to Tua and Waddle and Hill. And that's a team that's supposed to be built on its offensive identity. And as we've seen, when Tua goes out, which he is prone to do, their offense dies. So you're an offensive identity team. Your offense dies. Could their coach be fired? Maybe, maybe not. He did just sign an extension. So that's possible.
Sal mentioned with us yesterday, like, if they lose, are they considering trading Tyreek Hill at the deadline?
They probably should. They probably should. And I've seen the numbers on that, like how a team could get Tyreek Hill for kind of free.
Is it pop? Oh, for free? Like money-wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Money-wise. So it's all interesting for the Dolphins. This would be a save-their season that is bigger than what the Jets did last night. Because if the Dolphins were able to pull it off, it wouldn't just be a win. It would be a loss for the Bills, of course, doubly big. And it would be, hey, we finally did it. We can beat that team, even in our broken state. I don't think anybody's thinking that's going
to
happen.
There would be an emotional element, I think, to them slaying the dragon of sorts. It would probably make them feel like they're capable of anything.
Yeah.
Tua, I saw or heard Chopin Bulldog say this yesterday, that he is 1-7 against the Bills. He is 11-0 against the other two teams in the division.
It's pretty good.
Like, they're a good team.
Yeah.
Except when they play the Buffalo Bills.
We'll get some calls in. We'll chat with you on a football Friday. You want to give us a Halloween post-game show? You know, give us a wrap. How it went for you.
Had a lot of candy.
Yeah, right. Time for a break. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. It's football Friday. Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Rodgers to the end zone, and Wilson, can he one-handed and stay in bounds? They say he was out. Almost a catch for the ages.
The left shin hit the ground in bounds before the knee hit out of bounds.
Well, 10 years ago in this ballpark, on the other side of the field, Odell Beckham made one of the great one-handed grabs of all time. And tonight, it doesn't get any better than this.
Al Michaels on the call. Garrett Wilson, highlight reel catch.
Of course. When does the shin become the knee?
That's a good question.
Come on, NFL.
I also feel like we are entering a time in our lives, Jeremy and Joe, good morning, happy football Friday, where, you know, kids today, like we grew up with, and I say we, I was 1 year old when this happened. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Or Kirk Gibson or Joe Carter, all the famous calls. Kids today will grow up with famous official rulings. The shin came inbounds before the knee. Oh, one of the great moments. The shin went before the knee. Now, it's important to point out, if the foot hadn't hit before the shin, that is incomplete. Because the shin is only 1 foot, but the knee is 2 feet. Right?
What? The shin is 1 foot?
That's why it was ruled a completion, because he had a foot and then the shin.
So a shin is a foot, but a knee is 2 feet?
I think so. I'm telling you that if he came down, if the first thing that came down was the shin, that's incomplete, because the first knee is out of bounds.
I think we all have to sing the Bones song, like the hip bones connected to it. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That's what they have to sing before every NFL game now.
I just don't think they need to be this complicated. A shin is 1 foot, but a knee is 2 feet. And a hip is 2 feet. And a shoulder is 2 feet. And an elbow is two feet.
Yeah, they hate feet.
And they only half hate shins, apparently. Half credit for a shin, basically.
Oh. 803-0550. Happy Football Friday. Bills and Dolphins Sunday at the stadium. We'll talk with Sal. We'll talk with Chris Brown. And also coming up at 9:30, we're doing some flyover talk again. It's going to be a C5 Galaxy, a monster of a plane that goes over the stadium. And we'll talk to one of the crew members on that to get the info, because we think that stuff's kind of cool. So that's coming up at 9:30. Jets win and save their season to a point. We'll see if the Dolphins can do the same. No one's really expecting that. All right, Joe, you want to play the spread?
No one.
You want to play the spread game?
Sure.
The spread game is 2.5. Jets were favored. Hey, that's a 3-6 team.
Yeah.
Favored against a 2-6. Favored against 6-2. That's weird. I think I should be on the Jets. All right. Apply that to the Dolphins are only 5.5 point dogs in this game.
Yeah.
A team that never beats the Bills.
Yeah.
That doesn't ever win in Buffalo. And gets blown out routinely, and that spread is 5.5.
Right.
Feels small. I want to say, I'll chalk it up to it's a division game. And division games, teams know each other a little bit better. Even though the Bills routinely take care of business against this team here in Buffalo, there have been a couple games, playoff game, close. The snow, I wish it were colder game with snowballs, close.
Mm-hmm.
3-point game, the Bills win at the end.
One the Miami won. The one game that they won, the 21-19, 100-degree game in Miami.
That's down there, but yeah. I'm thinking here the Miami never wins.
Yeah.
And 5.5 is a little bit of, let's just say if it wasn't a division game, maybe the spread is 8.5. But it's division, so we got to keep it a little bit closer because of that.
Yeah. Didn't we think the spread didn't make... I usually go this way. The Dolphins matchup, though, is like tough. Like, how much do the Bills really just have the secret sauce on how to stop them? How much do they have the right scheme, the right personnel, that they just know what the Dolphins do? They know how to stop Tua. They know how to keep Tyreek Hill in check. And all of that together means they're going to beat the Dolphins every time. Because this was, the Dolphins were favored in Miami to start the year.
Yeah.
And the rosters aren't too different from that point to this point, and that game is never close.
Well, when you say the secret sauce, is the secret sauce really that they know how to stop Miami, or that they have an offense that Miami can't stop?
I think it might be both, because I do feel like they don't let the Dolphins go off. I think the Hill numbers are glaring.
That's right.
How good they've done. Tyreek Hill, his career high against the Bills with Miami is 59 yards. But I think, how could that possibly be true when you play him twice a year? I think that is, you understand their offense and you know how to not let them get the big plays, which is what they thrive on.
There's definitely game script in here as well, though, right? Because sometimes the Bills blow the doors off the Dolphins and it's over and they have to get away from the run game. This Miami team runs the ball pretty well. Achan last week, 10 for 97.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He had a bad year before that.
His last three games.
Even the Bills. I think he was 22 for 96 against the Bills.
22 for 96.
He also had 7 catches. I think he touched the ball 30. He touched the ball 29 times.
I would expect he touches the ball a lot in this game.
Yeah.
His last two games, 16 touches and 17 touches. The Patriots, he didn't play a lot. 29 touches against the Bills. 17 earlier in the year against the Jaguars. Like, their offense is Achan. He's the biggest part of it. Mostert's in the mix. Jalen Wright, a rookie back, like he's probably their next Mostert once Mostert ages out. But I wonder if we don't see the Bills, this Dolphins-Bills game be, for especially for Miami. You know, they're given a ton of credit for being this incredible offense when they're firing, and they need Tua, because Tua at least makes other teams have to respect the run. They still do look like a finesse offense, and when it's on, it is appealing to watch. Like, I'll admit to having fallen in love with Mike McDaniel's offense early on. He ran a play last week where Tua is Harlem Globetrottering the ball, like back behind the back, doing this and pump this way and flip that way. And when it's on, it is on. but it is so timing based, and it is so, you want to say finesse, I'll allow that, like finesse, surgical. When it's looking good, it is surgically good.
Well, when's the last time you would even say that it looked like that? How long's it been? I
thought they were pretty good last week. No?
They were okay. They scored 27 points. Like, when's the last time their offense went, man, story of the league, the Dolphins' offense just looks unbeatable, unbelievable. Like, it's been, isn't it been like a year since they've done that?
Maybe. I mean, I don't always want to go on points because sometimes game script means there aren't that many drives.
Yep.
Against...
But Tua's got 9 touchdowns in his last 9 games.
Yeah.
Like, he's averaging a touchdown a game for the last, again, 9 games that he's played. So, I don't think they're a bad offense. I think they're good, but this juggernaut that we saw at the beginning of last year, like, we're not really seeing that out of them.
That's not really there.
Anymore.
Jaylen Waddle, his numbers aren't what you'd think they would be.
And this was a question about them coming into the year about, hey, like, as the league got more film on you as last season went on, you struggled more. And are you going to have a counterpunch this year? Are you going to have something new that you can't really do this cheat motion anymore because they kind of outlawed that, right?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't do that? Okay.
It was talked about, and then they ultimately they clarified the ruling to say they did make that new rule change, but that it wouldn't really affect the Dolphins in that way.
Gotcha. But nonetheless, like, what's your counterpunch going to be now that the league kind of knows more about how to stop you, how to keep you in check? What are you going to do? And I think you're right to point out Achane. Like, I think their answer is their running back. Their answer is their run game. And that's, you know how I am about this stuff. I don't think leaning into your run game is necessarily the way to go about these things here.
It is the one thing that, I don't want to say a lot of Bills fans, but if you're worried about one team in the league, it's Baltimore, and it's because of the way they run it. And if there's one way to get by on the Bills, I don't want to say like teams beat the Bills running the ball because I sit here and tell you it never matters and nobody ever does it.
Yeah.
That's why I wonder if in this game Miami won't say, we've tried everything. What we're going to try to do is run it more than we ever have because they do give up big runs. We've seen it. And if we run and eat clock, we'll be one of those teams that tries to keep Josh Allen off the field and hope at, you know, there's 4 minutes left and we're down 6. Just hope that, that's... Stay close like a game manager team would. Run the ball. And I know that's not who Miami wants to be.
Right. It's almost opposite of their identity.
Right. Which is what the Bills...
Which is what they want to play. Shootouts, right? At their core, don't they think they can win shootouts?
At their core, I think they think they can build to run away from a team in the first half and it's over. But which I think is a good plan for a lot of teams.
Right.
And I think the Bills should probably employ that plan a little bit more. But yeah, kill a game in the first half. Just 35-10. See ya. Game's over.
And they can't really do that against the
Bills.
No,
they can't do that.
That's the difference against Baltimore, right? Baltimore can stay in their game plan and can stay by running Derrick Henry all the time because they have a really good defense that has that performance against Josh Allen that they had earlier in the year. The Dolphins don't have that. I don't even think Dolphins have that potential, especially with all these injuries that they got on the defensive side of the football. Poyer looking as old as he does. They're missing their best 2 pass rushers, which is obviously huge.
Yep.
Right? Chubb and Phillips are just out. So, like, they're not stopping. They're not keeping the Bills in check to run like that, are they?
No, what it tends to be, maybe, is explosive plays. I'll have to find out where Miami's explosive plays rank. But I'm looking at Waddle's stats here. Because, like, Waddle is a great receiver. And it's not happening for him this year. In week one, he had 109 yards receiving and had a 63-yard catch in there. You want to know his longest catch since the Jaguar game in week one?
Hmm.
Jaylen Waddle, one of the best receivers in football. I mean, for my money, he's great. His longest catch is 21 yards since week one.
Yeah.
And that's in part because Tua was out. But still, he had a 21-yarder against the Bills, and that's the longest catch he's had since week one. So they are desperately looking for explosive plays, and their quarterback might not be able to deliver in the same way that some of the best guys can.
Right. Like, I think some of these plays are cool, but what does it say about your offense when the highlights of your week are – little, oh, cool, look at this flip that Tua made behind the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean? Like, they're cool, but what's the value of that, really? The handoff is just as valuable, at least on the end around. Maybe the one where he kind of fakes it with his left and flips it with his right actually is a worthwhile fake that does draw the defense away. But, like, where are their highlight reel plays? Where are their downfield Tyreek Hill plays? Where's Waddle for this? I think... Something, I don't want to say something's off, But even when Tua's been in there for like a 9-10 game sample size, they are a good offense, but they are not breaking the league like it felt like they were going to a year ago.
Football Friday on WGR. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills, when we return, improving the game plan. And we'll cruise through. Sal joins us, Chris Brown. It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. All right, I got a Halloween post-game show and a true story for you. True. Okay. I would not lie about this. This is true. You know, trick-or-treating, go out with the kids, friends over, a bunch of huge, or just a pack of kids and adults following behind. Good times. Beautiful. Beautiful night for it. So, we go out, hit a couple houses, and sometimes the neighbor will hold the bowl out, and like, what would you like? Instead of just picking something out and putting it in the back, like, what do you want? So, my son at one of the houses, like, takes a look, and, you know, 3, going on 4 years old, it is an extended, pregnant pause of a look at the dish. Like, this one. No, this one. No, I want this one. So he's thinking. He puts it back, and then he goes, I'll take this one, and runs away. And I swear to you, that boy took a pack of Smarties.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Like, what do you want? No, you don't.
That's amazing.
Oh, man. Get out of here.
Let's
with that.
Let's go.
Smarties?
Yeah. So, what were the other like, oh, good options?
Everything. I mean, there's chocolate, there's Skittles.
And he went for the Smarties.
It
is a good wrapper.
It's colorful.
It's an inviting wrapper.
There's a lot of color to it.
It might be one of the top five wrappers, I would say, in the candy game.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
Nestle Crunch, though, of course, going to be number one for that.
That's just inexperience on his part. We'll get that corrected. You know, we'll get some veterans around him, surrounded with some good people in the room, and, you know, just a kid making a mistake.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah.
He took a pack of Smarties.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love it. Did he eat them right away?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
No.
Candy eating on Halloween night?
Yes.
You like allowed an allotment, like, hey, you know, right, there was four or five.
Yeah, there were a few more, three or four, one mores. And, you know, as the parents, you just kind of operate in the, whatever, it's Halloween, just let them go nuts, whatever they want. It's fine.
Yeah.
And you got to hide it. Smarties.
I've got competition for my silent bid, apparently. I don't have anyone above $25, I think, right now.
Sal joins us when we get back. Chris Brown, 8:30. It is Football Friday. Improve the game plan. Brought to you by Bath Fitter. Improve your bath in one day with Bath Fitter. It just fits. Don't take Smarties when given the option of a huge bowl. How else you want to improve the game plan? Have Josh throw it a bunch to Keon Coleman. Who's going to cover him? Cade or Kohu? Last time Miami was here, Cade or Kohu got taken for 3 touchdowns by Diggs. One of Diggs' biggest days with the Bills. Last time Miami was here. All right. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call if you want. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR on a Football Friday.